I don't think you can make just cold, hard decisions. Hey, I don't pay running backs, or I do pay running backs. I think every situation is its own, and so you're always trying with any deal, running back, receiver, linebacker, whatever it is, you're always trying to find what you think is the sweet spot that makes sense for you and for the player. This offseason, we found it with pretty much everyone we tried to get a deal done. He was the one. That's probably why we're at where we are. We've got a lot of the deals done that we tried, and it's well known. We tried to get something done with Jimbo, and unfortunately, it takes two, and both sides have to agree on what that number is. And obviously that hasn't gotten there.
All right. Brandon Beam. It takes two. Brandon Beam joining us at 7:30 this morning. You can go back and check that out on YouTube. You can check it out on the apps and such, wherever you get your stuff. We talked with Brandon Beam about James Cook, and we're waiting to see, will he be out here today? Would it just be a one-day thing? I mean – He is the guy that tweeted, 15 mil.
Yep.
And then asked about that. I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, he's not getting fined. Could say that. He's here, right? They can't fine him.
That's right. They can't. I don't know. We didn't ask that. Like, what actions could you take? The answer might be some version of like, well, we'll worry about that later. Like,
Yeah.
They tried to sign him. They remain interested in signing him. And that's where this is always for me with the James Cook thing. Good morning. We are live from St. John Fisher. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher is brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. You and I have talked a lot about what would they do conceptually? Would they pay a running back? And
yep.
Bean's pretty good. He's never going to rule things out. Like he said, I'm not going to, cold, hard rule. I don't do this.
Yeah.
And, that answer there about paying running backs and you find the sweet spot, they do want him here. What their number is, that's what we don't know. If Cook wanted to just, whatever, if he left or if he felt the offer was unfair – right, with Hendrickson, they made a pair of offers, and the insiders in the NFL were like, these were embarrassing offers.
Yeah.
Really bad offers. And we came to know that because his agent, whoever, would have told everybody. That hasn't happened in this case. We haven't heard Pelissero, who said he thought the sides were not that far apart.
Yeah.
We haven't heard an insider say Cook is disgusted with the offers, which is something that obviously could have happened at any point here.
Right. Well, really, what could be the gap here is, and, the Bills can want to keep him all they want, but if you really, truly want to keep a guy, then you will value him closer to, what they're going to get on the open market. And Cook seems to think that the contract he's not getting from the Bills now, he's more likely to get next year. Because if he didn't think that, he probably would have signed for what was on the table. And I don't know, 15 million is what he tweeted out. What we, I think, know by that, at the least, is the Bills, they might value James Cook. They don't value him like he's one of the best running backs in football.
No.
They don't value him the way the Eagles value Saquon Barkley. They don't value him the way the Niners value McCaffrey. The Ravens do Derrick Henry. The Colts do Jonathan Taylor. They don't value him like that.
Right.
So there's wanting him, but then there's, we don't want him that much. And that's kind of, I think, where we are right now. They wanted Gabe Davis, but they didn't want him that much. They wanted Tremaine Edmonds. They didn't want him that much.
And the flip side is, Cook wants 15. Does he want 15 enough to sit out, or does he want 12?
By the way, it was 15. I wonder if it's gone up. Guys have been paid since he wanted 15.
Who got paid?
Derrick Henry got paid. Barkley got paid. These guys got raises, actually. They already had contracts,
yeah. And
they got paid.
I mean,
so
Henry played
Chuba Hubbard
Chuba
got paid.
Hubbard got paid.
Like, he could have, it'd be crazy, I think, that he would, maybe he would have tweeted that out. Would he have tweeted out $16 million if he was asking for 16, though? He might have told us.
Possibly.
If he had actually raised the price. But, I don't know. That's the other part of it, is Brandon Beam says they want him, and they're having contract talks. I stopped believing it for like an hour and a half, 2 hours this morning. Because of that Pelissero report, but I'm kind of back to wondering if this is all just a a show to get him on the field with 1 year left on his contract, and they are okay with him walking away. Because they're never going to say that. They're never going to sit here and say, yeah, we don't value him like that. We're not going to pay James Cook. He's going to play the final year, and then we're done. They're not going to come on any show or interview and say that.
No,
this is what it would sound like if you didn't want to pay him.
Or you just didn't want to pay him all the way to the top.
That, right, yes. Yeah, would they pay him what James Conner got from the Cardinals, 9.5? I bet probably yes.
I think they would.
They probably would.
I think they would, yeah.
But what should he command? $9.5 million? That's the part of the debate we've had all summer. What is he worth? Is he worth what James Conner's worth, $9.5 million? Or is he worth closer to what Derrick Henry gets for the Ravens? Because I think he's a good player, very good player. He's not Derrick Henry or Saquon.
He's not Derrick Henry, but – this is part of what we do with, like, all the how replaceable guys are. We're over here talking. If you're Cook, you know, we do so much work about, like, Henry, McCaffrey, Barkley. If you're James Cook, would you sit here and say, like, Curtis Samuel's getting 9? let me be James Cook for a minute. I got somebody writing to me that I don't play enough snaps to make 9.5. Curtis Samuel's never on the field. He's hurt all the time. It's bad luck, I get it, but if you're James Cook, and I know different positions, so you don't have to explain that to me, but it's worth pointing out, like, wait a minute. I am the guy that touches the ball more than anyone other than Josh Allen. I am important to this offense. I ripped off 16 touchdowns, top 10 in yards over expected the last 2 seasons.
Yeah.
I am durable. I don't fumble, knock on wood, for both of those. I am worth $11 million a year. Given my positional status, that would make him one of the highest paid backs. This does ultimately get back to the point about positions. Like, look how much it costs you to get a receiver off the street in free agency that's somebody's third option. $11 million.
I was looking up Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney last year signed for $15 million a year. Like, I want Darnell Mooney money. When you put it that way,
you're like, that's not much at all.
Okay, that seems to make sense. Should James Cook get the same money that Darnell Mooney does? Without thinking about it for a second, you go, yeah. Yeah. He should. He probably should get more.
But scarcity at a position. And
you can't.
Right, right.
You come. I think you go into a contract negotiation with the team saying things like that, and you lose the room pretty quickly.
I agreed. Right. You got to go with your own comparables, your own positions. But, like, sometimes I feel like, you know, our conversations, people are freaking out about, oh, it's way too much. Like, oh, wait till you find out what they're paying, you know, but any old guy here.
That's the thing. Like, and there's a conversation about it's not just Cook versus Ray Davis. It could be Cook with versus what do you do after the fact? Do you draft a guy if you and him don't align on a contract and don't come to an agreement? Or instead of paying Cook, let's say he doesn't come off the 15 or like $14 million. I could do that, or I could go pay who's the Tony Pollard equivalent? He makes 7.
Right.
I mentioned Chuba Hubbard. Okay. Chuba Hubbard makes 8. David Montgomery makes 9. Can Hold I go on. Find a guy in that category, in that tier?
Do that right now, and I guarantee that tier right now is $10 million. Is it not?
But like, maybe they can't get Cook on $10
million. This is the exercise. We did this with receivers a lot, which is if I look at rankings of of running back salaries paid, and just do it as percentage of cap when signed, right? Average per year percentage of cap. I'll pull up the running backs, and here we go.
Because, like, last year, Connor signed and Hubbard signed. Like, those are the two more recent examples. But this offseason, it was Barkley and
so
it was Henry.
Connor signed for 3.7% of the cap in 2024.
Okay.
And
so that's last year.
David Montgomery was 3.57% of the cap last year. Aaron Jones, here's your best example. What did Aaron Jones just sign for?
I've got him at $10 million exactly per year.
Aaron Jones, average. David Montgomery, and James Conner all signed for effectively the same amount of money average per year on cap.
Okay.
Aaron Jones makes 10. David Montgomery makes 7. Like,
Montgomery makes 9.3.
Okay, Montgomery 9.3.
9.1.
Gotcha. Ramondre Stevenson's in there as well.
Like, so it's different to like $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. But it goes up. And like what did
next year it'll be 11.
11, sure. Sure.
Do you want to say five? You want to say $5 million? You want to say $4 or $5 million and sign?
If you just do percentage of cap, what you get is a big, big break from the top 4 running backs. So just forget 15, $20 million. McCaffrey signed for 7.4% of the cap. Barkley, 7.3%.
Yep.
Jonathan Taylor, 6.2% 2 years ago. That's why his number might even be really lower than it should be.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, this year, 5.3%. Then I'm at Kamara, 4.8%. Jacobs, 4.7%. By the seventh running back, James Conner, the seventh back is at half of the top back. Mm-hmm. You've already come down 50% in value. So if James Cook wants to be paid like, I mean, can he be paid like Ramondre Stevenson? Ramondre Stevenson got 3.5% of the cap. What's that going to be, $10 million?
But that sounds like a number that they would have done.
Sure, I agree. What I'm getting at is you have
– he might be asking for 5.5%.
He might.
6%.
He might, and that's probably where – right. Where
that's
would
the gap.
Where would the Bills come in? I bet they'd be willing to come in under Josh Jacobs and over Ramondre Stevenson.
Maybe they would be willing to pay 3.5%, 4% of the cap, but Cook right now is asking for 6%.
Right.
And they're going, well – okay, we like him a lot, but do we want to go with 6% of the cap for him starting on a new deal that starts next year, or do we want to wait and sign Brian Robinson to a deal where we get him for 3%?
Right. Maybe instead of capping a dollar amount, right, you cap
– or Jaylen Warren.
Our top back's going to get, you know, 4.5% of the cap, and won't go higher than that because we'll find somebody. 803-0550.
Or they'll draft a guy.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets done.
I don't want them to draft a guy. They want this
you
done.
Definitely do not.
I do not want them to draft
You
a
want
guy.
Them to sign Brian Robinson.
Whatever. I don't know. I still want them to draft a guy. Just
or
don't draft, don't,
how about Kenneth Walker or Kyren Williams?
Yeah.
Well, he's supposed to sign. Breece Hall. These are the names of the free agents next year. How many of these guys will get away from their teams? Because right now, of that list, I think the only guy talking with their team about an extension is Kyren Williams.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening with Kenneth Walker. That is not happening with Breece Hall. Jaylen Warren, Brian Robinson, the starting running back in Washington. That has not been a conversation there from what I've seen. So that's your list. So you want to replace him with a guy that's going to get a decent contract instead of the contract that maybe Cook's looking for. Like, that's your list. And honestly, Walker, Breece Hall, I mean, I expect that they get similar money to what Cook would get anyway. Right?
Yeah.
You're not getting those guys. If Cook's signing for 15, you're not getting Kenneth Walker for 10. I don't think.
I don't know. How good has Kenneth Walker been? Really good?
He's good. Yeah, he's good, right?
He's good.
I don't know how good the numbers are, but
yeah,
he looks dangerous. When he had the ball against the Bills last year, those couple of times, I think he got hurt in that game, didn't he? He looked good in that game.
They were missing Metcalf in that game. The Seahawks were as well. I just saw a stat on – oh, sorry, stat of the day. I'll save that for you. I remembered I have a stat of the day that I'll get to eventually. It's a baseball one, so we won't get to it here. You want to give us a ring, you can, 803-0550. We did speak with Bills GM Brandon Bean. I tweeted that out last night. I knew this would be like such chum in the water. Like I tweeted Brandon Bean, 7:30 tomorrow. And then I just spent the next couple hours checking in on the replies.
Yeah.
What everyone's writing because, like, you know, back after the draft, we had our moment. When I became forever Jerry, and it became Jerry and Joe.
Yep.
No, it's – but it was fine. It was just – the Cook thing is big news. And, you know, for us to have basically the first chance to talk to anybody about it, and McDermott, I would imagine, will speak on it today.
Yeah, Bobby Babich is meeting with the media now.
Yeah, this is
not you who you would expect to talk about James Cook.
Right. If it were Brady or McDermott, we probably would have carried – live, but Bobby Babich is speaking and said, you'll probably hear that during the Northtown Automotive Extra Point show coming up.
Yep.
So, but again, Babich has got to talk about all the injuries, Rapp and Bishop. You know,
right.
here's
Bishop again. I mean, one thing Brandon said to us, I asked him about Bishop, was that he probably won't be ready by the preseason game on Saturday. And man, like that is, he's supposed to be the guy.
Yep.
And we keep getting these injuries with him. So, That would be concerning. I mean, he is, I think, right now the biggest catalyst to that secondary getting a lot better.
Yeah.
If Harrison isn't going to be ready for the start of the season, so having him would be huge.
I always think there's a little bit of a it's tough. It's the differences between reasons and excuses. If you look back to last year, the number of players where we say, "Well, he was hurt," is long. Bishop, well, he was behind all the okay. Kincaid, knee injuries. All right. Coleman, wrist injury. Okay.
Yep.
Samuel, turf toe. Yep. All right. Like on and on, it's everybody's nursing an injury. And right now, we're at a long list of players that we got to decide, is it reasonable to say that? Bishop, Hairston. Can I say it about Samuel again? Moore? Do I say it about, I mean, Rapp, now that he's hurt? Shakir, high ankle sprain. Last time he had one, he was able to kind of fight through it pretty quickly. What if this one's a little bit different? You know, sometimes they can be more problematic.
Sure.
So I'm not treating these injuries as nothing because, again, reasons or excuses, you decide. But we're piling up a long list of this guy is starting the year battling something. I know everybody's hurt. Everybody gets hurt. But to start the year battling something, like it's tough.
Yeah. Shakir last year, so he gets injured early in that Baltimore game. Again, I think it was the first or second drive. And Shakir, he misses the next game. He actually does end that game against the Ravens. 4 for 62 and a touchdown.
Yeah, the one was a 50-yard catch.
It was a 50-yard catch down the field, broken play. He got behind the defense. They forgot about him. He didn't have a touchdown, sorry, in that game. That was not a touchdown. So then he misses the next game, doesn't play against Houston. Then he goes 2 for 19 against the Jets. Then against Tennessee, he's back. Like, so really, 2-3 weeks. It's like a 3-week time span before he's really performing at a high level again after that injury.
Yeah.
And then he went 7 for 65 against the Titans, then 9 for 107 against Seattle. So put a couple big games on after that. And you got this time between now and Baltimore. Like, maybe because of chemistry with Allen, he should be someone that we're not concerned about. Because with Samuel and with Bishop and, like, with these guys, there are further questions than just can they stay on the field. Whereas Shakir, there's a baseline. There feels like there would be a baseline chemistry knowledge between him and Allen. So I'm more wondering who steps in his void in the next couple of weeks. This is where Moore builds chemistry with Josh.
Christian Wilkerson.
This Christian Wilkerson.
If he's going to play special teams and be a dynamic receiver,
I think I'd be more into it as oh, okay, this is something to watch if he was younger.
You just can't stand the idea that he's just a flat out. He's a gamer. He's played 6 games. He got 3 touchdowns. Does he have the greatest touchdown per game ratio in NFL history?
No, he might.
Three touchdowns in 6 games.
How about 3 touchdowns in 2 career starts?
Come on.
How about that?
Yeah, he's in the mix. And McDermott, you know, kind of raved about him. If you're any player, position player, and you're on the bubble, or maybe even – I mean, he might even have to climb up to get on the bubble. Hearing the head coach give you a shout-out is nice. Shavers, by the way, I think I saw McDermott called him Shaves.
He's got a nickname.
Shaves. Interesting. Shavers shortens to Shaves.
Shaves.
And Sabres shortens to what?
They're going to start
Sabes.
We'll wait till they have a jersey that says Sabes on it.
Get a jersey that says Sabes. Let's do that. I think he called them Shaves.
How far away are we from them bringing Chase Claypool back? Hey, he said really nice things about him. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, really? He's not on a team.
No.
Says he's stronger and faster than ever after missing a last season.
Claypool is?
He was with them all spring last year. Bring him in. Why not? What's different?
What's different is Claypool
is 27. He's younger than Wilkerson.
Claypool is your Keon insurance. So is Gabe Davis. Like they've got a roll for that receiver, and if Keon's on the team, and now that they've seen a rookie year, they're probably, I don't know, I feel like the Bills probably feel encouraged about Coleman doing what they are gonna ask him to do. You know, if you're we talk about this a lot with Coleman. Like, if you're someone that hoped he would develop into a true number one receiver, like, you might still have that hope. I don't think a lot of people really do. But can he do what they want him to do? I bet they feel pretty good about that. And he's having a nice camp. Does that matter? Eh, you know, we'll see. But that's why Claypool's not here. Because, you know.
They need backups.
They do.
Wilkerson's here.
He is.
So they did that.
He's a gamer.
Do you know what Claypool's last play in the NFL was?
No.
Tua's pick to end the Bills-Dolphins game.
He intercepted it?
Taylor Rapp.
Taylor Rapp.
Won the division.
Yeah.
The last play of that game, Dolphins have the ball. They're down seven? They're down seven in that game. Division on the line at home, and Tua goes to Claypool. Pick. Intercepted. I bring that up because I watched that game the other day on Friday.
Just Bills Dolphins?
Came up. It was in the algorithm. Like, I'll watch this back. Because it is – it feels like the division has never been close. It's like, oh, yeah. They had a – the Miami had a home game to win the division. And, like, that was it. They'll never – they will not get closer than that, I bet.
They had a home game to win
the division. You had a home game to win the division.
Yeah, and they lost to a team – that had a deflected touchdown scored on them.
I saw the Trent Sherfield play I had forgotten about. It's nuts.
And a punt return touchdown.
McDaniel's face after the catch by Sherfield. There were a lot of forgotten plays that I had forgotten about that. There's that one. Do you remember Fangio giving the Bills a first down with 10 seconds to go in the first half? Like, they all backed up on the goal line.
Yeah.
And the camera pans to Tua, who's, like, whipping his head back and forth. Like, what did we just do?
Yeah.
We just gave them 12 yards? What was that? It's a wild game. And then, of course, a punt return, yeah. Hey, listen, as lucky as the Bills got in that game, again, that's the closest Miami ever came to winning the division. What did their high-power offense do? 14 points. The whole game.
The news on Josh Palmer, Matt Parrino tweeting out, groin injury, but he is in uniform, appears he will practice today.
Okay.
So Josh Palmer back.
Receivers are just dropping like flies here.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he's fine. What number does Wilkerson wear? 82?
Yes.
Keep an eye on him. Deion Kane is still around?
Yes.
All right.
We will get a break in.
Raheem Morris just announced that neither Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins will play in their first preseason game.
This is where you offer me $100 to tell you who will.
The Falcons' third string quarterback. What are they doing to Cousins? Not that he would want to play in the preseason, but let the man free.
The Falcons' third string quarterback.
Who's the Falcons' third string quarterback? I should really start studying the Giants' step chart. Who's going to be playing? Oh, we're going to get Jameis on Saturday, aren't we?
Nice.
Let's go. That's going to be fun. Always fun.
The Falcons' third string guy is Taylor Heinicke.
No, he's in L.A.
Okay.
They're number two. Easton Stick.
Obviously.
Is the third string
that
quarterback.
Should have been that was obvious. I should have had that. All right. We'll step aside. And we're on James Cook Watch. We're watching players walk out, see if anybody's making their way onto the field and what level of helmet and such.
Yep.
So we'll keep you posted. Jeremy and Joe, live from St. John Fisher on WGR.